Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Yeah, I'm ready to get.
Ready to go recording.
What you got to do is he's cutting at the wrong angle.
What are you talking about?
He's got to come in with a slashing motion. You want a man, when he wants to make a slashing motion, he needs to bring a slashing motion closer to his chest.
I've learned so much about knives.
Oh, knives. I thought you were talking about cutting down Christmas trees.
No, never. That's manual labor. I was watching a show.
Can be, if you get paid for it.
During this time period, right? Christmas time period. I'm looking, always looking for something to watch that's not like necessarily just like Christmas related. I just need something to watch that is not of the holiday.
Sure.
It's not necessarily just my murder movies, which I love, and true crime, blah, blah, blah.
The struggle is real.
I have discovered this show that I have no idea why it was not a national phenomenon.
You don't know why?
No.
What's it called?
It's called Knife or Death.
Knife or Death.
Hosted by Goldberg. On Lifetime.
Oh my goodness, Goldberg.
Dude, you gotta look at this fucking show, dude. Eish! There's this guy that every single time he cut anything, so it's like you go home, it's all the guys from Forged and Fire, but
okay,
they put them
Forged
in motion. They make them do these obstacle courses with
knives. Well, I don't think
they
need to do that.
No, dude, it is incredible. It's each episode always has like one guy who looks like Steven Seagal, who he thinks that Steven Seagal is the ultimate fashion icon.
Okay.
There's always some guy who looks like a pirate.
Great.
Right? There's always a minuscule woman that I feel like they put in there just so like, look, see, we put a woman in there.
Strong like bull.
But then they it's very difficult for them because you got to have bigger frame.
Oh.
Right? But it's all about chopping logs, chopping ice, chopping rope, right? You do these things. You also chop accuracy, right?
Sure.
There's just one thing it's got turn. I mean, it's the best show I've ever seen.
A lot of chopping going on.
It's a chopping show. There's a whole world of chopping. Do you know this?
I do know the
entire
world.
Have you heard of Blade Sports?
Of course, I know all about them.
This is where we need to go into, dude.
It's quite difficult.
Well,
you have to forge the blade yourself,
which
I don't think we're capable of doing.
Not in Blade Sports. In Blade Sports, you can buy a competition
blade. Oh, that doesn't count.
Wait, we can get into it because it's like darts. It's a thing that it's for men who look like us. We can really, like, it's incredible, but I love this fucking show because it's just every misfit from the Forge and Fires universe.
Uh-huh.
They put him in action to do all of these fucking knife shit. And it's so funny because none of them can move.
Well, isn't that
fantastic?
And
they're all dying. Each one of them's got diabetes foot.
Oh.
And they're, like, every once in a while, you'll have one martial arts guy. But this is I'm going to put this question to the audience.
Sure.
What is with martial arts guys and getting real fat, but then continuing to wear the gis?
Well, because I think the gi is just, it's a dress for a man.
It is.
That's really all it is.
But is it because martial arts guys have to drink a lot of booze because they're not allowed to fight? Because in martial arts, you're supposed to use
weapon. It. You're a
deadly weapon. Yeah, but you're not supposed to use it.
I was on a YouTube hole of Steven Seagal. That man can move, and I don't care what anyone says.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to Side Stories, everyone.
Great.
Ben hanging out with Henry.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal's actually back in my good graces. I'm not sure if he was ever out of my good graces. Steven Seagal, Lawman.
He's the fucking...
One of the most fantastic docuseries of all time.
It is a good television show, but he is currently... The Fraudsters just did a whole series about why Steven Seagal's like a bad person.
Oh,
But also, he went to Russia...
But I saw the movements that he was doing.
Have you ever seen him run?
It's very fun.
I wish that you could see him run. He does these, like, his arms are, like, tight to his breasts, where he runs back and forth. It's economical.
It is economical.
It's really
important.
And
that's exactly what he does. Well, anyway, I hope everyone's doing well out there.
Dude, you should watch Knife or Death, man.
I will.
It's just nothing. It's pure. You know why it's pure? Because you know what's pure? A knife. You don't have to fucking. I don't know if a knife is here. There's no politics in it except for the man who's wielding it. Except there was one man that was like kept talking about how there he's in a war and he's preparing for war. But the whole time, Natalie and I are watching it, thinking like, well, maybe if he get it out of his system with the knife sports, that might actually really help him. This might actually be a good way to take all of that free floating rage and put it into something constructive, like chopping.
All right. Well, speaking of those two horrendous things when used in the wrong hands, the Moscow update just for this week, they did say that it was possible. Of course, Moscow, Idaho, the four murders took place. Absolutely devastating. There's new evidence that a white Hyundai might be involved. But again, cops are like, well, don't just go hunt down everyone with a white Hyundai.
What do you mean? Like Herbie? Are you saying the Hyundai did it?
Not Herbie the Love Bug.
No, Hyundai the hate car.
No.
And then it's going out there and he's good. What if that's what it is? What if this is maybe he doesn't understand because he's a car and he can't think, but he's sentient. Mm. He did it as an anti-Semitic attack, not knowing that none of those kids were Jewish.
Well, and of course, that would be horrible on
Wouldn't
every level, no matter
bad?
What. So apparently the surveillance footage could potentially be important as the Moscow police announced that they were going to be looking into the occupants of said white Hyundai, who may have, quote, critical information. It was seen speeding the night the four students were killed near the gas station. So who knows? Hopefully that's something that we can lead to the conclusion of that heinous crime.
I don't know. They might just be looking for Panera, like, discounts. Because they can find out that that one Hyundai, because sometimes I wonder, like, oh, yeah, sure, the cops are doing their job, blah, blah, blah. But I actually wonder sometimes if they put out those APBs for a white Hyundai, it's just because they're looking to buy one. Yeah. And then all of a sudden now they can get one that shows up, and they're like, it was a part of a crime scene, so we get a discount.
Well, that's the thing. Will it do for the white Hyundai what it did for the white Bronco?
No.
Of course, with O.J. Simpson, you can't buy a white Bronco any longer. As a matter of fact, the Bronco discontinued after that because it got a bad rap. I think Tesla's next.
The blood-speckled ones were actually really quite compelling.
Well, a little on the nose, I felt, but of course, that's the world that we live in.
Right.
A little on the nose.
Do you want me to start with, because again, it's a week to the horrid fucking holiday that is Christmas. Do you want me to start with a ghost story?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, why not?
Let's get creepy with it. I have a bunch of creepy stories today. Okay. Some of the other stories, we do have a story of redemption that I want to share with everyone about how, like, sometimes Christmas miracles do happen, and we will get there. We will talk about a Christmas miracle.
Like this story out of Australia where scientists found clitorises on female snakes.
That is exactly what I was teeing up.
Thank God.
Which is just, like, finally
about
intrepid scientist ate enough serpent pussy that he knew. Because, again, it took a couple of incel scientists to just kind of just do the stick in the hole and not understand you got to go all around it.
Yeah.
But when he finally understood, because you know where the clit is, it's the whole tail.
Oh.
And if you suck on the whole tail of a snake, it comes and comes and comes and comes and it'll marry you.
Well, according to Megan Folwell, she's a doctor there.
Yeah,
she says there was a combination of female genitalia being taboo, scientists not being able to find it, and people accepting that the mislabeling of intersex snakes. So evidently people have been looking for that clip for a long time.
You know,
to be a scientist. We always put scientists on a pedestal.
Love scientists.
But then it's like, what do? Yeah, I look for the clit. I look for snakelets. And it's like, get out of here. You're not a scientist. You're some kind of weird snake perv.
What they didn't discover is, but then there's the one guy who found snake balls, because I know snake balls are inside of the snake.
Yeah.
But he's just like, yeah, we're looking for it. It's in its guts. And she's like, great,
you got it. Well, apparently they have two.
What is it? Okay. So are you supposed to give a snake pleasure? Is that what they're saying? That this is where the pleasure center of the snake is?
Well, at the very least, they can receive pleasure. So snakes have two individual clitorises.
But did clitoris work like that, like it does for humans?
I think that's why they call it the clit. So the double-walled organ is composed of nerves, collagen, and red blood cells. And of course, it is right there on the underside of the tail.
Yeah,
so they're having a good time when they're walking or slithering around.
Whoa, do you think they're always lightly masturbating?
I mean, it sounds like it. You know, these gals rub on everything.
Absolutely. And that is just that's the jelly of the month club of animal news. That's a gift that keeps on giving.
It really is.
Because then all you got to do is, I wish my penis could be activated by me crawling on the ground.
Yeah, Miss Folwell said she started looking for it because the literature she had read about snakes, female organs, she didn't like it enough. She says it just didn't quite sit right with me. So she was reading a book on clits on snakes.
There's got to be a clit.
There's got to be a reason. And this, I mean, I'm just happy they figured it all out.
So they just flip the snake over and rub its belly until it starts twitching back and forth. Or they just like, I guess that's the thing. As I'm still just kind of lost as to why we spend, like, not to be in.
Why does it matter?
Why do we spend the money? Like, why do we spend the tax money to look for the clits? But I'm sure
this is a tax related thing.
I guess as long as it's not, I mean, they got a fund somewhere, unless the most perverted zoologist in the world is paying for the study. The government is paying for it.
No, this is the Kissel Institute to find every clit.
Find
me a clit.
Do you have like a trophy? Do you have like a trophy room in your house of every clits?
Absolutely. This is what she has to say again, Miss Fulwell. She's a scientist. She says, "I know it. The clitoris is in a lot of animals, and it doesn't make sense that they wouldn't be in all snakes." So she really did some detective work here.
I'll tell you
she
what.
She says, "I just have to look to see if this structure was there or if it's just been missed." So did the snake now evolve a clit, which is
for
next
what?
Step world domination?
For what? I've never
world
seen,
domination.
But I've never seen a snake licking another. You know what? I'm going to look it up.
There was
I'm going to look it
this
up.
This is
do
what say, she
I'm
says.
Looking up. Does a snake?
Well, with their big snake tongues.
Does a snake eat another snake's pussy?
Yeah, let's see what the Google says on that one. You're probably bringing a Pornhub.
No, I don't want
Ooh,
to.
Ooh, snakey Pornhub.
Snake's I'm going to say vagina.
Oh, wow. That's very classy. Here we go. And the results are?
No.
No, it's they don't.
It just says they have clitorises, but again, but why do they? Why?
Well, this gal says there was this double structure that was quite prominent in the female that was quite different to that of the surrounding tissue.
But again, and I there still was understand. No, why do we have it?
And there was no implication of the penis structures I've seen before. So this is the pussification of the American snake. They used to have ding-dongs, and now they have clitoris. Oh,
okay, cool. All right, cool. So we now found ourselves into the gender studies world.
Well, until now, she says, scientists believe snake sex was, quote, mostly about coercion and the male snake forcing the mating.
Yeah, rape.
So there you go.
So they're saying that instead that the snake woman can choose to feel pleasure and that it's actually up to the snake man or whatever it is, however they divide it up. They need to figure out how to please their snake wife.
Well, this is interesting. She says, but now with the finding of the clitoris, we can start looking more towards seduction and stimulation as another form of the female being more willing and likely to populate with the male. So
this is such a lonely woman.
Blind date.
This is such a deep
blind date snake edition.
Why can't I find love? I believe every snake's got a boyfriend. Why can't someone come? I wish I had a clit finding snake.
Well, she talks about his clits on snakes. Who wants to? You can't have too many fun meals with that.
I know a lot of ladies. I know a lot of ladies that are snake people. I know a lot of people that are snake people. A lot of them are very sexy. So actually, I feel like in the end, she might be getting boofed a lot.
Yeah, she
might
be.
And then also understood, like, she's like, maybe while she's getting, like, with the machine, she got that clit sucking machine on, and maybe she got something up inside of her, and she's got two other people slapping her in the face with snakes. Maybe at some point, she's like, I wish snakes could feel like this.
Yeah, she's just very surprised people didn't find it earlier.
God
also,
bless.
Lastly, according to Associate Professor Kate Sanders, she says Miss Falwell's work provides, quote, a fresh perspective.
It is.
So isn't that good?
There's a
fresh perspective on the clitorises of snakes. So yep. You didn't think we were going to talk about that this morning.
Actually, I did because I knew because it was part of the article.
Yeah, but you didn't realize how much it was going to change the world.
And I know. So, you know, when I read it last night, I was just like, it's good.
She says this discovery shows how science needs diverse thinkers with diverse ideas,
whatever you need
to move forward.
All I know is that the search for the snake clit was fine, but it is going to be a hell of a time finding a tiger clit.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
Because you're going to have to really dig through a lot of apprehension.
Yeah.
Especially right. Well, as just a beady-eyed scientist from America.
Live from your grave.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year, thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Last podcast on the left is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You don't want to miss Fluid Engine, because if you do, it ain't coming back around. It is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. So let's say, we're doing well so far. We're moving these picks. If you want to move the Judge Reinhold non-clothed edition of a horse picks on the Clydesdale, you can drag it straight to your cart. It's that easy. You also can drag an entire giraffe ride trip for your family, because daddy gets the back of the head, right? You just drag that from the option menu straight to your cart. And don't delete, because I'll know if you deleted. I'll know if you did it, thanks to Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Now, let's take a look at this Christmas ghost story.
Yeah, that sounds good.
This might take a little bit. Let's walk through this.
All right. Christmas ghost story indeed.
No. During the first Christmas of the pandemic, my mom's older sister, Barb, passed away. And Barb didn't get COVID, though.
What about Barb?
What about Barb? But 10 years before that, she had suffered a bad head injury and she was trying to text on a flip phone while driving and she put her Saturn in a ditch. That's a problem.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, Barb.
Yes.
She was discharged from the hospital after a week or two, and despite being a little banged up, she seemed fine. But every time she came to visit after that, she seemed more deranged than the last time. She used to be pretty boring and mellow, but after the accident, she got louder. She was boisterous. Most disconcerting was how over the time she became very handsy.
Oh.
So every time I'd see her, she'd give me like a big hug. She'd like tell me I look like a movie star, kiss my cheeks over and over. Like even those when I was a teenager, I'd feel my arms and ask how often I worked out. She did all this in sort of a loud, friendly way, though, but it made me uncomfortable.
Well,
that's just called ants.
That is called ants. And we just discovered they also have clitoris.
Yeah, honestly, scientists just broke through. Your Aunt Barb has a clit.
Absolutely.
And you just tell Uncle George it's time for him to get to burrowing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her relationship with her husband quickly spiraled after her accident and they got divorced. Then came a series of increasingly creepy boyfriends. Sure. Anytime I saw Aunt Barb with one of these boyfriends, she was super affectionate with him, right? They was like making out.
Getting real horny with it.
One Thanksgiving, it was subtle, but I swear she was rubbing her boyfriend's dick under the table.
Oh,
hey,
great.
Man, life doesn't end at 40.
No, it doesn't. Sometimes it begins after a car accident and then your sort of ability to know, like, is this appropriate? Is it not appropriate? Is deeply damaged.
It wanes.
And now you're jerking off your boyfriend underneath the Thanksgiving table.
Freedom. Fantastic. That's what they're saying is pure freedom.
That's now, great.
Years later, anyway, she passed away suddenly from an embolism. It was the week before Christmas. My parents had split up around that time, too. So mom went out to Aunt Barb's house to put some distance between her and my drunk shithead dad and also to deal with Aunt Barb's affairs or whatever. Right. So I had never been to Aunt Barb's house before. So they went. It was a big black gray Victorian house. So as soon as I got there, I felt like I was walking to the old spend the night in dead relatives haunted house like trope, right?
Oh, of course. Right? That's a classic trope.
Yeah, sure.
Spend the night in dead relatives house Barb, who had a big clit and would always rub my arms.
We don't know how big the clitoris was.
Oh, it was big. After the accident, I think it grew 7 inches.
Whoa, like the Grinch.
Yeah.
The Grinch.
Oh.
All right. Now, little I know how accurate that feeling was.
Oh.
Now, I've always been interested in the paranormal, but even though I've always wanted to, I've never truly believed. I've never witnessed anything resembling an unexplainable phenomenon, not until that first night. So once I got there, I helped my mom clear out all the guest rooms so I'd have a place to sleep.
And then I did a little Christmas decorating to try to recapture some semblance of normalcy. And after that was done, I was ready to grab a shower and go to bed. Now,
well, decorating a dead person's house is a little macabre for the holiday season. I mean,
it depends on how much Aunt Barb liked Christmas. And he said that they became kind of a hoarder. And so, you know, it just thinks to disperse it up.
Sure. Right?
After my shower, I went back to my guest room. I was wearing only a towel.
Oh, my.
I threw the towel onto the dresser, and I let my cock flop out while I dug through my suitcase for a pair of basketball shorts. Right?
Wow, yes.
And that's when I heard something strange. It was a metallic kind of creaking sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked across the room by the window and saw one of the slats of the blinds start to kind of droop down in the middle. Now, I stood there.
Uh-oh, horny
wet
barb.
Wet and naked. Right? Wet and naked.
Yeah, wet and
looking
naked.
Looking at the window for a long time, trying to figure out now, like, how part of the blind could be bending itself.
Sure.
Right? Maybe it was bent before.
Well, maybe
and I didn't
it was
notice.
His cock. It was his cock hitting it.
I don't know. No, I got an intensely creepy feeling like I was being watched. Mm. I moved to the window to slap the blind straight when suddenly it snapped back into place. Like someone was peeking through and then let it go.
Oh, Peaky Blinders.
Oh, yeah. Peaky Blinders.
There you go.
Now, nothing about it really made any sense. I was on the second floor and the window was closed. Regardless, I got dressed real quick. I was freaked out. But not so much that I couldn't rationalize it as a way, right? Right? So I went and smoked a bowl and went to sleep. Then in the middle of the night, I woke up groggy, kind of high, right? I had a massive hard-on.
Big hard-on.
It isn't unusual for me. I wake up rock hard all the time. Braggart.
Braggart indeed, but yeah. Of course at some point it does become more uncomfortable than others.
Sometimes I wake up and my penis does wake me up, but and I'm like, go to sleep.
Go to
sleep.
Take a rest.
Right? This time I had a sensation.
That snake clit you look at.
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Now I woke up from an elusive erotic dream. I thought maybe I woke up from an erotic dream and I couldn't quite recall. My basketball shorts were pulled down around my thighs and I was slowly grinding against the sheets. Or at least I thought until I felt a weight. Pressing down on my crotch.
Uh-oh, what
like
about
somebody
Barb?
Was leaning on it. What about Barb? Wow. Now, I wasn't grinding into anything. I was laying on my back, and I could feel the sensation of something moving up and down the shaft of my penis.
Wow.
Like a hand, it kept pumping me up and down, up and down. I was dangerously close to climax.
Wow.
Terrified and disoriented, I kicked off the bed sheets, screamed at the top of my lungs, what the fuck? Stop jacking me off!
I can't believe snakes have clits.
All right, my mom is a night owl, and she's still awake in the next room watching Law and Order. She heard me scream and came pounding on my door. Cody? Cody, are you okay?
Now, why would the mom be involved here?
I mean, this sounds like a documentary I've seen.
It seems like he's overreacting.
The
just
weird
a little
sensation
bit.
Immediately released my dick, and I sat up, soaked in a cold sweat, right? And my mind rapidly grasping in every possibility to make sense of what had just happened.
Mm.
I told her it was okay, that I just had a nightmare and I was going back to sleep. She went back. She left me alone. As I lay there in the guest bed, I couldn't shake the feeling I'd just gotten jacked off by my dead aunt. I stayed
what
the rest of Christmas getting
Barb?
Terrible sleep, right? But
well,
I had no more strange experiences, thankfully. I don't know.
She's not your aunt in the afterlife. She's just a hot chick with a brain issue.
Honestly, the dude said I never spend a night there since forgetting fear of getting jacked off by his aunt again.
Well, what's the problem here? It seems like this
he
man...
He got molested.
He did not.
He was molested.
He was going through puberty. It
no,
like
he's an old man in this.
How old is he?
He's like fucking 25.
He's like 25. That's male puberty. It happens
later.
He
felt someone touching his penis, right? And the thing is, the key is, listener, if you're listening, did you feel acrylic nails? Like, I want to
know
whether
also, what
not,
did it smell like? Did it smell like cinnamon and spice? Did you have...
That Bed Bath and Body Works, like, that
bed
pungent.
Bath, yes, indeed. And beyond, in many ways, did she say, I just run on pumpkin spice latte and Jesus? Like, did you hear that stuff? Because a lot of times aunts will run on pumpkin spice latte and Jesus.
They really do.
That's
I thought it was a fascinating story because you just never know. And we've covered how many different stories of people having sex with ghosts, but it's the first time I've ever heard incest.
Yeah, and that aunt needs to be ashamed of herself. You know, you wonder if you get some sort of brain damage here in life, does it follow over into the afterlife? Or did she just want to have sex with her nephew?
So you mean to say that you think that, do you think like Rudy's a senator in heaven?
I have no idea.
And that when he dies and all of a sudden he's
Rudy
like...
Rudy Rudiger?
Yes. And he goes up there and he's like, let me tell you something about microscopes.
No, I think he's going to stay the same. He spoke at my university. Couldn't understand a goddamn word he said.
He's a colorful man.
He's an interesting fella, and that story is, again, a lie. Well, speaking of children, this story is interesting involving this hippo.
Again, another story of Christmas redemption.
So it took place in a district of Uganda, right? And this kid's walking around. He's 2 years old. He gets eaten up by this hippo. And evidently, he did not taste very good. because then the hippo spit him out and he was still alive, which I actually think is almost offensive. If I was the child's mother, I'd say, you're not going to eat my kid.
No, children are filthy.
You don't want to eat my kid?
No,
yeah, but this is a goddamn hippo, bro.
I find this interesting because most of the time when you cover an animal story, you're always like, you imagine the animal as making decisions like they are like a director of a film. Like you think mm-hmm. that an animal mm-hmm. knows what they're doing and
they
make these choices.
They do know what they're doing.
But I find it interesting in this story that you don't see that the hippo, I don't know how I got myself into this position.
Mm-hmm.
He understood that he was making a mistake and that he was about to do something rash
yeah.
that he could not take back. Like that horrible story about the FedEx driver who killed a 7-year-old girl that he hit that was fine, but
oh
then he strangled
my,
her for some reason.
That's very bad.
Yeah. But you know, the hippo was better than the FedEx driver.
Yes, indeed he was.
As he understood, as he was swallowing the child, he was like, hey, let's think about this. Chlorina? What's his name? How do you name it? What is it? Was the hippo name himself? Brian? Listen, think about this, Brian. All right? If we eat this kid, all right, we're going to be on every fucking list in all of Africa. Is this in Africa?
This is in Uganda.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, everybody's going to be coming for me. I'm going to have to deal with all these questions and shit. I'm going to be fucking, someone's going to try to shoot me in the back of the head. I've like saved this kid. If I just spit him out, they think I'm saving him.
Well, also, he didn't just spit him out willingly. A dude saw this attack, and this man's actually a runner-up for Hero of the Week. And he saw the attack, and he started throwing rocks at the hippo.
That's
which
terrible.
Would be rude, but the hippo was eating his child.
You're not supposed to get involved with nature.
Yeah, but this is involving a human, so I think that you can.
No, man, no.
He's not a documentarian.
No, you can't get involved. That's what nature's supposed to do.
Anyway, one of the rocks startled the hippo, which is just kind of funny to think of a hippo startled, to the point where it puked. So the hippo got so scared from the rocks, it threw up the kid. And then the Uganda police said, this is the first such kind of an incident where a hippo strayed out of the Lake Edward and attacked a young child.
Do you think the cop showed up and they said, Uganda, be kidding me?
Uganda,
that's from Chelsea
be kidding
Handler.
Me.
Chelsea Handler did that.
Is that
was the name of
the
her
name
album.
Of her special?
Yeah, and everyone was set.
Isn't that funny how funny she can be there?
That was funny.
So the boy did have some minor injuries and he was vaccinated for rabies. Because I don't know if you know this, but apparently snakes have clits and hippos have rabies.
I actually didn't know that, but I know that hippos are the most dangerous land mammal.
Do you know how many people they roughly kill per year? Take a guess. Why don't you take a guess? Why don't you take yourself a fucking guess?
A single hippo?
No, hippo in general.
A big hippo?
Multi-hippo.
150.
500.
No shit.
Yes, they say, and they weigh between 28 to 7,000 pounds, 28,000 to 7,000 pounds.
You got to be able to reason with these guys.
And they kill, yep. So they're actually the most dangerous land mammal. According to Lachran Trail, he's an ecologist. He says their bite strength is around 3 times greater than that of a lion.
Yeah, man, they got bigger heads.
And he says that is why they're so dangerous. They cause substantial trauma to the human body through crushing force.
No, it's really bad. Being crushed is one of those fates that I want to avoid.
Yes.
I feel of all of the ways I could die, I'd rather drown. I'd rather be set on fire than be crushed.
Man. Well,
because I was thinking about this the other day.
There's the two options of biting or being trampled.
Well, we were at Disney having a good time, but it was like everyone was like really mad because they didn't like that I brought up the fact that two separate people had committed suicide off the top of the parking structure
very
recently.
Bizarre.
Everyone all sad. It's like, oh, you're bumming everybody out.
Well, somebody has to remember them.
But the thing is that I feel like that what's scariest for me, this is such a great Christmas conversation, is the minute that you spend alive at the bottom of on the ground after you've jumped, because it takes a second. You don't die immediately.
Well, how high was it? Was it 3 or 4 stories?
It's like four or five stories.
Yeah, you're going to want to go. You're going to go at least 20.
If you don't hit head first, if your head don't pop like a melon,
mm-hmm.
you're alive for a second.
Yeah, and the legs kind of shoot up.
Yeah, you have to go like,
that was a mistake. I thought I could fly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, never. And it's really very sad, Kissel, and I'm sad that you made that joke.
Yes, indeed.
And it
Disney
disgusts
World.
Me.
Well, Disney is a sad place. And of course, I understand the backdrop of it's small world. Everyone's having fun. And just like,
well, yeah,
my wife
tears streaming
me.
Down your face. Yeah. Your business has been demolished. You don't like, but you know what? You know what I'll say? And maybe this is kind of controversial. I'm glad they didn't kill their families first. Isn't that
I
nice?
I agree.
I think that's refreshing.
I completely agree with. I completely agree with that.
You know who's back in Christmas? You know who's back for Christmas?
Who?
Bigfoot baby.
Bigfoot for Christmas.
Okay.
Ooh, I love that Hallmark movie. Only one for Christmas is Bigfoot, and then Bigfoot shows up.
Rails
wow.
your mother. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Whoa. What about Barb?
Because he's got that fucking dark matter penis, and
he
can fold it into tri-dimensional space. Now, this is really good new footage.
Mm-hmm.
I want this. We did last week. We talked about the UFO Bigfoot invasion of Pennsylvania in 1973.
Yes.
So much fun.
But this kind of came up. They talk about synchronicity. There's a good, real good.
Real good.
This is some real good Bigfoot footage.
All right.
I don't want to show this to you. We're going to show it. We'll probably put the snippet or whatever. We'll pop it up in there. Sure. And you'll see it. So we want you to see it. But like, look at this, man. This is as good. Like, this is pretty good.
Okay.
Now, this came from the Rocky Mountain Sasquatch Organization. Right? This is Ontario, Canada. It was shown by a boater. Right. And as you can see, I'm going to show you this little clip right here. Now watch this right now.
It's like a beautiful water. Very nice trees, good foliage. Yeah.
Recently, we have seen a lot of photos and videos of Bigfoot in the area. Yeah. Here is one of the latest Bigfoot sightings captured by some boaters. I'll play it through and then I'll zoom in on the subject and then play it again at full speed and then slow it down so that we can get a better look at the Sasquatch-like subject on video. It appears the boaters are going closer to land.
They're going closer. Here, now I'll show you, right?
This is a
when I replay this again, I want you to notice.
Look at this motherfucker. Look, he's doing moonwalk.
He's doing the moonwalk.
Now he's going forward. Look at that fucking bipedal long arm.
Yes, indeed.
Is that you? I know you were in Canada. You ain't going to Canada.
It kind of does look like me a little bit. I love the Canadian people.
He's doing that backwards walk.
It's difficult to get in and out there.
Look, now he's going forward again. They're doing this. He's not doing this. The Bigfoot's not walking back and forth.
No, the Bigfoot just walked there, but he definitely presented himself to the people.
Dude,
in
look
the
at
boat.
It though. That's good fur. You could see the musculature as you get closer. You can see the musculature under the fur.
Yeah, there's no way.
No, it is something. It's solid. Look at him. He's got the long strides.
I think we can agree it's something. Absolutely, and I want to believe. That indeed, that is.
I'm actually
Bigfoot.
Really surprised because I figured that of all the people that would be receptive.
I'm receptive to it. I just don't want my people to be hunted.
Oh, no.
And also, we need to leave the Bigfoot alone. So that's the thing with the Bigfoot.
No one wants to. No one really wants to shoot the Bigfoot.
That's all they talk about.
But
is.
In the South, they want to shoot the Bigfoot.
No, everywhere.
And technically, the author, we talked to JW, and he said that fucking he wants to kill a Bigfoot.
Everyone wants a corpse. Mm. Everybody wants one corpse, but we don't know how many they are. There are,
but I like
so
here,
one might decimate their population.
I want you to notice the camouflage color of the Bigfoot. The grass and the foliage on the ground. This comes from the singular forest. No, it's foliage, right? It's the same color, nearly the same color. This is a quote from RMSO investigator Kelly Shaw. Now, just amazing camouflage, right? Just great color for the environment, right? Now, he's saying it straight up, I'm not seeing... It's Bigfoot. It just looks like Bigfoot.
Okay,
right?
So he's not saying it is.
No, I'm saying it's not. All right, I'm saying it looks like it. I think it walks really fluidly. If someone set this up, it looks like they would have practiced because the fluidity that it moves, it reminds me of Patty.
And you remember the Bigfoot.
The original, the OG.
So this week, in honor of Christmas.
Fuck Christmas.
Fuck you, Christmas.
We discovered the snake clit and... Bigfoot.
Things might be changing.
UFOs are real. Bigfoot are out in Canada, which again makes perfect sense. If I was a Bigfoot, Canada, nice cool weather, good fish, good water.
Oh, absolutely. You got the fucking, there's got lots of open land, except the one thing about Canadians and then the Canadian land areas, are like they have filled a lot of their empty space with the oil digging. Like industry, there's a lot of oil out there, which might disturb Bigfoot homes.
Absolutely. Well, let's come back to America for a second. Salt, right? You want it in order to salt the streets when it gets cold.
Oh, I think you want to put it on food.
Or that as well, but you want to season the streets also. Mm. In McQueen, Tennessee, there's a salt barn, right?
All right. This is just a place filled with salt.
With salt.
Okay.
And they found a human heart, and everyone's like, well... Unless this salt has become sentient and grew a human heart, who the fuck does this belong to?
So there was literally just a separate human heart.
There's just a rogue human heart. T-Dot workers were just combing through and just doing what they do with the salt. And then they're like, this is a weird shaped rock. And then they found out it was a human heart. Davis says, I've got 32 years in law enforcement. I do have to say this is probably in the top five.
Is there a picture of it?
There's a picture of the salt. He says, I do have to say this.
But there's no picture of the heart.
Well, and we can click on the link here. He says, I do believe this is one of the, He says, I do believe this is one of the top five most bizarre things he's ever seen. So this is in the top five.
Actually, I feel like our episode should feature the other four.
Yeah.
What's the other weirdest thing he's ever seen at the salt
house?
I don't know.
Salt barn?
The salt barn.
Where does salt come from?
Salt.
How do we get
the water?
Salt?
What are you talking about? The ocean.
Do you know?
Rocks break apart. The ocean breaks rocks apart and releases salt.
Yeah, what the fuck, man? Also, by the way, Salt Bae tried to squeeze his way in to talk with Messi after the World Cup. What a fucking bitch. Salt Bae is horrible.
He's not good.
The steak is horrible. Yeah, and he's an asshole.
The restaurant in New York bombed.
And there's one here that's super expensive. Anyway, no, they don't show a picture of the human heart. But the mystery here is everyone's like, anyone missing a heart? Did it fall off the truck?
Good. Well, this, I wonder if sidestoryslpotl@gmail.com. Can enough of a body dissolve in salt? Can it be put in there and then dissolve? I feel like it's the opposite.
It
preserved if it gets put in salt.
I think it kind of pickles it.
That's what I thought.
Mm.
Did someone just throw? They know it's human.
They said it's a human heart. According to Davis, he says somebody somewhere knows, and we're seeking information. I always reach out to the public if you happen to have any idea or just an inclination. So go blow up the phone lines there and just be like, no, it's not mine.
It's not mine. Last time I checked, I was alive.
Yeah, he says we are just going to keep doing that until we feel really good that there's no other remains here on the scene.
That means nothing.
So they're combing through all the salt to be like, is there a leg in here?
Well, yeah, obviously now it's like, but this is my other question. Where is this salt going to? Is this all street salt or
this is street
salt?
Salt, okay, bro. No, this is not. I mean, maybe Salt Bae would use it at his restaurant.
Yeah, I fucking could see him doing it.
But no, this is just your run-of-the-mill, nasty-ass street salt.
Okay, all right, cool.
I didn't realize
fine.
It got that cold in Tennessee, but what do I know?
Well, you got the mountains, man. You got the Blue Ridges. You got the Brown Ridges, which is what I get if I don't wipe properly. Then you have the... You got the blue wind of Magunka.
Yes, indeed.
Have you even been a part of the blue wind of Magunka?
I live it every night when I go to the restroom. Davis is appreciative of the TDOT workers who acted on an uneasy feeling and called police. This is what he says. He says, they did act out of suspicion, and my hat's off to them.
I actually wonder if it was one of those things that they're in the office and one of them keeps hearing that bum, 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 bum.
Ooh, the telltale salt horse.
It's the beating of the terrible heart!
Oh, my God.
And they're digging through the salt, and they're like, stop it, Terry, stop it. And then they're like, damn it, Terry, you're the best salt worker we've ever had.
The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation says
they're mad that they found the heart.
Well, it's not a fun day.
Well, it grinds everything to a halt.
To be honest with you, it's probably fun.
I mean, yeah, they did something different because it's not just piles and piles and piles of salt.
Yeah, so the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation determined it's an adult male. And they don't know.
Why, because it was broken?
Love
is difficult.
Little raffle. Indeed. So anyway, I'm happy they got it before they put it on the street and then you run over a heart on with your car. And
I don't know. It'd be kind of fun.
Live from your grave.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Fernando and I were talking right before performing is that I also have a... I have that intrusive thought all the time of hitting pedestrians. Like where
it's
imagining
not an intrusive
one,
thought, it's called driving safely.
But it's one of imagining them jumping into the street and me like hitting them.
That's called being aware when driving.
I know, but it scares me.
That's not an intrusive thought. But an intrusive thought would be you actively trying to hit them. That's you attempting to drive safely.
Yeah, but if I there are people I want to hit.
I know that's an intrusive thought.
But that's why I'm
God. The
other
thought is just good driving.
When I'm behind the wheel, it's like I'm God himself.
No,
and then
you're
I
not.
Choose who lives and who
I'm
dies.
Not even bringing up your personal life.
It has been a difficult week. All right. I need to get out of this year. I need to get past Christmas. Okay? But it were not my
Christmas.
Fault. I have to get past this fucking holiday. I fucking absolutely hate this holiday. All right, but I'm with it. I'm jolly as fuck. All right. I'm reinventing myself. All right, look at my hair.
I do like it.
And
your hair
dyed
looks
my hair.
Fuller.
Look, this is what I another thing that I've been saying that no one believes that I have more hair than it appears that I do because my hair is very light.
It's
very clear. And then when I put another color in it, you can see that the hairs are there. And I don't sound like a ranting person at the bus stop until I find myself in this place.
Absolutely. Well, you'll enjoy this. People like you have been around for a long time.
What?
At least,
handsome leaders?
At least 11,000 years. Did you see this carving of this dude holding his dick?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the first ever. They understand it's the first ever narrative. The first ever narrative that they think that they have caught is this carving that is of a, it's in Turkey. It's 11,000 years old. It's a carving of a man holding his penis while surrounding by leopards. And they think it's the oldest known depiction of a scene. They said it's engraved together to depict a narrative, according to Elam Ozagadan. A.M.
Perfect.
Oh, so God.
You got that. But this is what's so interesting. So a man holding his cock with two leopards on either side. Do you think he's defending himself against the leopards using the power of his penis?
It could be one of those. So if those are the two leopards that he's trying to side behind, right? Because they talk about the side between. They talk about that story of like, you know,
as
the two
have
wolves.
Sex with.
Yeah, no. It's the ones you feed. Spiritually, each man has a duality to him.
Oh.
And that the penis itself might be him saying, it's the questions. It's the two leopards going, do you fuck her? Don't fuck her. Fuck her. Don't fuck her. Mm-hmm. And you got the penis in your hands and you're wondering, and you're looking at the two separate leopards. Be like, which do I listen to? The one that knows that I'm horny as fuck or the one that knows that woman might turn around and fucking set my whole life on fire.
Well, researchers, again, I think they're inferring a little
Everybody's
bit too much
of this. Everybody's very horny right now. There's a lot of like,
pent
horny
up sexual, absolutely. Well, there's some of the horniest people out there. So researchers say the scene depicted, quote, it reflects the complex relationship between humans, the natural world, and the animal life that surrounded them during the transition to sedentary lifestyle. But also, what if they just drew a bunch of cats with a dude holding his dick?
They might have. And then we didn't see at this point that there were like big tits on the leopards that have been cut off by time.
Because I don't think, like, if you're just, well, like, they always put so much into art.
I think that you're in your own way, as you always do, you're accidentally very wise. It's true. It's that idea of, like, is it allegorical or was it just
the only two things they could draw?
The guy's like, cool, it's fucking, he's holding his dick. See what I just made? Yeah, I don't know.
And then his buddy knows how to draw leopards. He's like, draw some leopards around him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. No, but again, if they don't come up, if scientists, they have to come up with these stories, right? I obviously think that there must be some way to tell this, but we don't know. It's outside of our pay grade, right? Even though, because it's actually much lower than ours. Because it's scientists, they don't
good
get paid as much
ding
money.
Good looking ding-dong, by the way.
I know,
nice.
It's healthy.
He's got a big hog.
But it's this, you know, they have to come up with these stories to get funding. So they
That's
have
true.
To say it's a part of a big story. But it might be, because I do believe in the mysteries of ancient people. So they might have been more close to a more psychic understanding of the universe. I don't know.
Well, I think that they were, to be honest. I mean, not to be conspiratorial. But there's a lot of energy in the air that wasn't there back then. I think people, before Twitter, we would actually know. We would know.
Oh,
I think our communication was better. And 5G.
Oh, God. I think I did 5 Gs. All right. Do we have time? How long have we been doing this episode? Okay. I want to do this. I might save this.
Yeah, save it.
Because I have a really good, scary puppet story.
And then
it's good. I'll save it because it's okay. This is too good. This is too good. I got a good scary puppet story, but I'm going to wait because I already did my Bigfoot.
Also, on top of it, I think I'll cover this story, but there's a facial recognition story involving the Rock Cats that I think is very interesting because basically, long story short, this mom who is a lawyer, she has a lawsuit her company does against MSG. She was kicked out of Radio City Music Hall because she wanted to go watch the Rock Cats using facial recognition ID.
It's weird.
They were like, ma'am, you got to go. And it's very fucking trippy.
It happens
and it's
so
happening
fast.
Now. And it's been a slow, we've been talking about it for 30 years.
But I mean, like, the fact that they saw her go in the lobby and were able to catch her in that moment in time where it's like, as far as I'm concerned with theater employees, I'd be like, I'm not fucking kicking somebody out. I don't give a shit that you're suing my boss. Boo-hoo.
Exactly. Well, I'm not going to say doomed.
But, no, we're not doomed.
Well, let's look at civil liberties every now and again. We look at, okay, anyway, let's do Hero of the Week. So this week's Hero of the Week is a gal. She is a woman, and she's very nice. She's the manager of a Minnesota liquor store, and she saw this dude walking around, and he had boxes for shoes.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. Yes. And so she took the boxes away.
Nope. She gave him a retro pair of Jordans, which isn't that nice.
Can I see what colorway?
Do
you know what shoes they are?
Let's see here. They're these. They're nice shoes. They're just good old-fashioned Jordans.
No, these anyway, are fucking, this is a retro. What is this?
That's what they said. It's retro, yes.
That might be a fucking, is that, oh man. Should well, it give doesn't him a matter. New he was one? Wearing that's boxes sad, though, before. Because if you really want to give him something fucking ups, you want to give him a fucking Air Jordan 1 or 3
yeah,
or
it doesn't,
4.
I don't think it matters.
That's got good resale value. This is just
I don't think he has an Etsy account, so it doesn't really matter. Anyway,
this is not going to move any hypebeast needles at all. Dude.
Okay, well, anyway.
That's sad. I wish.
So her name is Talia Thomas. And she's locally known as Ace. And she said it was a split second decision. She's like, bro, you got boxes for shoes.
That's awesome.
Here's a pair of Jordans, which isn't that sweet.
I all kidding aside, I think that's nice.
Yes, indeed. I attempted to give a homeless man who was walking barefoot on a 150 degree day a pair of sandals, but he said my feet were too big.
Yeah, but that's perfect. And that's way better than your feet being too small.
Mm-hmm. Also, runner up hero of the week is Snoop Dogg and Willie Nelson. They Snoop Dogg told a story about how they were playing dominoes in Amsterdam on 420. And it was the first time that Snoop wanted to stop smoking, but he didn't want to stop smoking because it was with
Willie
Nelson. And
he'll smoke you under the table.
Yeah, so apparently it was Tom Brady was giving this conversation. And
Was Tom Brady spilling somebody else's story?
I don't know.
Why are we listening to this Easter Island looking motherfucker? Why do we care what Tom Brady says?
Well, he says Snoop was the most stoned. I know.
Get back to football.
He asked Snoop, what was the most stoned you've ever been in your whole life? Oh, and Snoop responded with Willie fucking Nelson.
Oh, sure.
And it was Amsterdam on 420. And they said they just went to his hotel room. They were just playing dominoes and getting stoned. And I cannot even, I mean, that just must have been.
The plumes there, man. And you just pay that money. That's also what I've learned, too. If you're traveling internet, you just pay that cleaning bill. Yeah. And they just smoke inside.
Yep. He was like, Snoop said, it was me and him playing dominoes 101. He's whooping my ass and I'm just getting higher and higher and higher. He just keeps on passing it to me. And I'm like, this old motherfucker is out smoking me. So Willie still got
it. It's incredible.
I love Snoop and I love Willie. And
I love it, man. I want to see him before he dies. I don't know if I will.
Well, Snoop is the no. No,
no. No, it's Snoop we'll see before he dies. I'm saying
Snoop
Willie.
We will. Man, that Up and Smoke Tour DVD. Remember the DVD set?
Oh, yeah, dude.
That was very fun. Anyway.
When music was music. All right, it wasn't all this mumbling, okay? Everyone's name wasn't like Little Bips. All right? They had real names like Snoop Doggy Dogg. He had three names, just like Lee Harvey Oswald.
Absolutely.
And that made him a real American.
Well, he's the he kills a lot of fresh beats.
Same thing with Rachel Ray.
Okay.
Now, here's a listener email. I am very excited by this. I want to reach out to this person. This is fascinating. I'm a professional online creep hunter. Like the subject line states, I find ACMs, acronym for adults contacting minors. Mm. And I'm not talking about coal miners, right?
No, indeed not.
You could call a miner, a real miner. And because, again, they work so hard.
You're going to go with this pun. You're just going to continue on with that pun. That's great.
We're almost done.
Really good.
We're almost done.
Really good. Minor or minor? It's a difference. It's a difference in wordplay.
We're so close to the break.
Really good.
Now, to clarify, I work for a nonprofit that seeks to help kids stay safer online. So I'm not just logging on all vigilante Casey Jones street justice style, which is sweet, though. You should.
Casey Jones.
We work with law enforcement and everything's legit. Now, as you can imagine, I run into stuff like the Riverside cop story fairly often. We talked about this story last week where the cop that was a recently made cop in Virginia, he quote unquote seduced a girl online that was way underage. He visited her pretending to be a teenager. When he showed up, he killed her family and took her
Jesus hostage, right? Christ.
Really fucked up. When I'm pretending to be a teen and talking to ACMs, I'm often getting love bombed, complimented, blah, blah, blah. These people are also seeking validation most of the time, i.e., do you think I'm handsome? Is it big? Do you think it's really big? Am I hotter than the boys you go to school with? And of course, I always say yes with some string of emojis. What's troubling is that some of these people who are reaching out to minors online are in positions of power, you know, like teachers, coaches, cops, the list goes on. Mm-hmm. When Henry and Ben were talking about how they might deal with having kids, Ben mentions giving them a PlayStation. Now, as a gamer, I totally support this, but also literally anything that has a chat element is a place where grooming occurs. Basically, what I'm saying is that bad people are online. I think most people know that that's a given, but the best way to prevent your kid from being abused online is to make sure they feel like they can come to you if something happens, ensure that they know that it's not their fault, and talk to them about online safety, which can essentially be boiled down to not talking to people they don't know online, even if they think they're a kid their own age. Often it's not. Usually they have bad intentions. So sometimes terrible shit happens. Anyways, this isn't meant to scare parents or whatever, but mostly just to inspire them to start an open and safe conversation with their children.
You know what's inspiring me? We need a whole movement of bringing back disconnected gaming. GameCube. GameCube
where
is just awesome.
You and your buddies. You can only play with the people that are in the room. I think we'll get there.
I hope so. I think you have to be online.
I think there's going to be a Luddite rollback at some point.
We kind of discussed that on last Top Hat as well. The children, I do have faith that they're like, fuck it.
Yeah, this I'm sucks.
Sick of social media.
Their
lives are already 24 hours monitored.
Yeah, they suck. They hate. It sucks. They want it. I know that most of them want off the wheel.
Yes, indeed.
And I got one more story.
To be manipulated.
Yeah.
To be manipulated.
I grew up in Salt Lake City. No, I'm not a Mormon. Quite opposite. I'm actually a goth chick. Now, as a goth chick in Salt Lake, you learn all the local haunts and spooky places to hang out. We know for a fact there's a massive, like, goth and punk community in SL.
I'm also going to say it's not opposite. I can see Mormons getting kind of gothic.
Well, of course,
because
they also believe that they're going to go own their own planet.
It's kind of gothic.
It gets weird.
Yeah.
Now, many hangouts that we go to are given due to our local history. The Gilgal Gardens, which I've been to, it has that like Sphinx and shit. It's really
sweet. In Salt Lake City?
Yes.
Oh, beautiful, man. I climbed up that hill to go to the Mormon Museum.
Kate Bush.
But man, it's fucking beautiful.
It is. It can be nice, right?
It is.
And of course, there's Memory Grove. Now, usually, originally intended as a military tribute park, Memory Grove includes several wonders, such as a headstone walkways, a meditation chapel, tanks, and of course, a fabled favorite, the remains of a witch's cabin.
When I think meditation, I think tanks.
When I sleep the best.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in a tank.
Nice. Regular old Dukakis.
No. Originally intended as a... All right. So one night in my youth, we decided it would be cool to go check it out at like 3:00 in the morning, like you do. Thinking that we might get in trouble, we agreed that instead of going in through the main entrance at the front of the park, we'd park in the adjacent neighborhood and hike down through the back.
Okay.
This was a bad idea.
Oh.
Upon entering the wooded area, we quickly realized that there were many people there watching us. Not just any normal people. They were dirty, disheveled, and dressed in tattered clothing.
Hmm.
Not only did they look creepy, but they also behaved very strangely. Like many steep hikes, this path is broken into switchbacks. And at the end of every turn, there stood about two or three of them. They stood motionless, said nothing, only stared intensely. Due to the narrow width of the path, we were forced to shuffle past them in a single file, almost brushing against them.
Ooh.
Finally, when we reached the bottom, we hustled into a speedy walk to distance ourselves, only to find out that there were more. There in the park, we saw several of them down on their hands and knees, lapping water out of the creek that runs through the park.
Oh, okay.
They stopped drinking to watch us walk by with that same intense stare, still not saying a word. Our speedy walk turned into a jog at this point, because we were determined to get the hell out of there.
Sure.
As we at last reached the front gate, once we were out, we started to relax, even smile at how fucked up the situation was. So did that really happen?
Whoa.
It was at that point, however, that our smiles were quickly wiped off our faces and our fears were confirmed as a fire truck with its sirens blaring drove by and we heard them. The people from inside the park, they all started howling.
They howled. All right. How? All right, very good.
That was good, creepy. That was a creepy one.
I hope everyone has a very creepy holiday season. We're going to put this 2022 year, we're going to put it right to bed.
Fucking
and
bed.
We'll take a fucking pillow and I'm going to smother it.
I want to just put 2022 in a fucking casket. We're covered in dirt. Mm-hmm. Right? We're covered in dirt. We're dancing on top of the grave.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're free 2023, man. This is the year it all turns around.
There you go.
I'm calling it right now, Fernando. It's definitely not, I'm not dooming anybody.
Well, 23, Michael Jordan, maybe that's good. Maybe that's a good sign.
Yeah, 23
is kind of a lucky number in some way.
Yes, people like it. So, yeah, or it'll be some other fucking year and God knows what the fuck.
Yeah, maybe I'll lose the ability to use my legs because I wasn't able to use my arms for half this year. So. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everyone.
A beautiful holiday season.
Yeah,
and I hope you go out there and you love the fact that it only, at least Christmas is only once. And so it's done. Right, and it's just one fucking day. It's just one day. You just got to get to that fucking day.
It's what it's the
lead
up.
Yeah, it's the lead up, right? And then you can just you can laugh, knowing that hey, you know, I'm not gonna kill this year. I'm not gonna kill this year.
Not going.
This is the year. I do one of those shadow puppets. Instead of killing my family, I'm going to show them all of the wonderful shadow puppets I can make.
That's
and we'll all laugh and laugh and laugh. And yeah, they'll wonder why. They'll wonder why you've done this. You wonder why you've barricaded the doors and you've covered yourself in kerosene. But it's only just because you want them all to know how serious you are about the shadow puppet show you're going to do.
Absolutely.
Because if they don't all just sit for a fucking second and watch this show, you're going to emoliate yourself and the entire fucking building.
Well, you want to live like the mom from Hereditary. That's fun.
I really think so.
Whoa, that's one way to floss.
Another
everyone.
Fucking holiday season in the goddamn casket.
We'll talk to you next year.
Yeah, so see you next year. So you remember next week we have off. It's Christmas break. Everybody's fucking leaving. So we're coming back and we have such a big, thick fucking series coming up when we come back. You're going to be like, what is this milk? With some kind of milk.
Well, it's not very thick, usually. But... All right, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Hail Satan. Hail me.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.